Hey, how y'all doing? It's your girl Dee Dee Leggett, aka the Core Queen. I'm back with another episode of the Core Queen podcast. I have such an amazing guest on my show today. He don't really need no introduction, but I'm gonna give him one anyway. But if you don't know who Kareem Grimes is, I don't know what to tell you. Y'all really been under a rock or something, because he is the man. Okay, so Kareem is my boy Preach from All American, and he's also Uncle Mike on Vince Staples show. He has had roles in probably everything y'all have seen, black, all black, everything, because he is blackity black. And he has been on your TV screens for a very long time. If you don't know who it is, but here it is, y'all. Welcome, Mr. Kareem Grime. How you
What's
doing,
going Kareem? On the Queen.
Kareem, I'm about to get in your business today, Kareem.
Oh, here we go.
No, I ain't too messy, I don't think.
No.
Kareem, how have you been? How's your mental health doing today? What you got going on? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually fantastic. You know, anytime you're able to wake up, you know, that's within itself, so everything else is a cherry on top.
Absolutely. I know that's right. So I was watching a few of your interviews, and I was learning so much about you that I just didn't know. So something I really don't know much about is your upbringing.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. Born and raised in Inglewood, California. So I'm a like true LA native through and through. Yeah, you know, mom and pops was together, and you know, they split up when I was probably like around 9. So you know, really my mom holding it down. My dad, we had an interesting relationship. It didn't really get better until later on, but you know, LA kid, really avoided the pitfalls of, you know, gang banging and all that other stuff. You know, I kind of knew what I wanted to do earlier on. And my mom really, you know, she really encouraged me, and I really had a village. So, you know, I definitely got into, you know, acting very young, and sports, football, basketball, baseball, you name it. So my mom really kept me active. So I really didn't have idle time to be out in the streets. And you know, just a, you know, a regular kid, you know what I mean? Like, of course, you know, you mischief, but you know, I definitely, my mom kind of threatened me with, you know, if you get in trouble with anything, you're not going to be able to do, you know, your sports or
right.
your acting classes. So that really kind of kept me, you know, on a straight and narrow and focused. And, yeah, just, you know, I don't have a story of, you know, came out the mud and the da-da-da. Like, I was really like an LA kid, like for real. Like, you know, really just moving and grooving around LA, really staying busy and, you know, just growing up and learning and having male figures in my life who fed into me and spoke to me, and you know, if I definitely got out of line, was definitely there to be like, listen, you know, I may not be your father, but you know what I'm saying, like, I care about you, and I want to see you achieve and be the best. So you need to tighten up. And you know, those gentlemen, those men in my life, you know, I still connect with. Some have gone on, you know, in past, but those men that are still around that I still connect with, and you know, I let them know each and every time that I see them is, you know, thank you for pouring into me and looking out after me. And, you know, I just try to be a stand-up individual, morals and values, and, you know, just try to go through life giving back. You know, I'm from the call, each one, teach one. And, you know, what I've learned and what I've obtained information, I try to give back to my community and, you know, look like me. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. Went to school out here, high school, went to Dorsey High School, which is, if you're from LA, you know about Dorsey High School. It is a powerhouse football school. You know, a lot of people came out of there. And then, you know, I went on to Cal State LA College and, you know, finished that and, you know, was really, really got into, you know, heavy into working and just pursuing my career as an actor. And here we are, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Through that, I was still acting. I never stopped.
Okay. Yeah, are you an only child?
No, I have a younger sister, and she's married, and I have a niece and a nephew.
Okay, all right. So good. Look, see, I've learned a whole bunch today. Okay.
Yeah.
So did you when you went to college? What did you major in?
First, I started business, which I didn't want to. That was just something that I thought I needed. And my first year, I'm staying on campus, and my roommate he knew that I was an actor, and he was like, "Yo, man, can you help me with a production?" And I was like, "For sure." And then he took me into the broadcast journalism, film, radio, and television building where they had the cameras. And I was like, "Yo, what is this?" And literally after I finished helping him with this project, I went to my counselor and changed my major to broadcast journalism, film, radio, and television.
Oh, that's so dope.
Yeah.
So dope. Yeah. Okay, so you said that you started acting early on.
Yeah.
How did you get into acting?
Doing extra work. You know, my mom's friends who are in the business, you know, kind of guided that. But also just getting an acting class. You know, I started with Marla Gibbs, legendary Marla Gibbs, Angela Gibbs. They had a school called Crossroads. It was right on Crenshaw Boulevard, famous Crenshaw Boulevard. Across the street from Angela's funeral home, that was famous for Boys in the Hood when the two dudes got pulled over. So their school was across the street. You know, my acting teachers were Whitman Mayo, who played Grady on Sanford and Son. So, you know, this is like my foundation. This is like the shoulders that I stand on. And, you know, it started from there. And literally, I just fell in love with it and, you know, started doing extra work, and boom, my mom's friend is like, "Yeah, there's a young man from that just graduated from college from USC, and he wrote this script, and he's looking for young black boys who can skateboard." And I find myself on set of Boys in the Hood, and it's Singleton, and you know, we're about 2 weeks into shooting, and you know, there's other kids on the set, so we're all just throwing a ball, and John is, you know, playing catch with us, asking us questions, and, you know, he came up to me and was like, "Yo, what's your name? Where are you from?" And he was like, "Yo, I got a couple of lines for you to say. You cool with that?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely." You know what I mean? And literally that was the turning point for me to go from an extra to now having lines, and that's how I got in the SAG, and you know, got upgraded, and you know what I mean? And from that point on, that was it. Like, that was the spark. And, you know, I owe a lot to John. He was a big brother. He was a mentor. Mm. Even after Boys in the Hood, you know, I always kept in contact with John. And, you know, when he was doing, you know, Poetic Justice, I was on set. When he was doing Higher Learning, I was on set. And he was like, "Man, finish school. You got to finish school. You got to finish school. You got to finish school." He always stressed that. And, you know, once I did, you know, finish that, and my mom ran into him because he lived in the same neighborhood as me. And he was like, "Yo, have Kareem come meet me in Leimert Park." And that was his office. And that was the beginning of him the beginning of pre-production for Baby Boy.
Wow.
So I started as John Singleton's assistant on Baby Boy, and he was like, "Yo, I'm gonna show you how to make a movie from beginning to the end." And I literally touched every department on filmmaking, from casting to, you know, PA to locations to everything. I was also videotaping all the auditions, so there's like videos floating around of Tyrese and Taraji's screen test. That's me by camera recording it.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I literally saw everybody read for the roles in Baby Boy. So yeah.
Yo, I should be taking some notes or something here. Like, this is crazy.
That's why I'm on your show.
Right. I'm sitting here like,
they can run it back.
All right. Okay. So that kind of gives me a little hope with the, like, the background, doing the extra work and stuff like that. Cause, like, in my experience, it just could be a little discouraging sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to get into the field and doing the extra work, and you're like, but it could be motivating too, to watch the, you know, the main characters doing their scenes, like, one day I'm gonna be there.
I mean, it's a part of paying dues, and I think we've gotten out of paying the dues because everybody has a cell phone. So if they're an actor or director or model or this and that, and you know, you gotta understand it's a discipline, it's a craft, it's a, you know, you gotta work at it. And you know, there's a lot that people don't fully understand with acting, you know what I mean? It's not just getting in front of the camera and, you know, saying lines. Like, there's emotion there that goes into it. There's figuring out, you know, what is your character fighting for? What's at stake? You know, hitting your mark, making sure that you're not blocking the person that you're in the scene with, knowing where your eye line is, knowing where ECU or CU, you know, or a two shot, or, you know, a dirty shot, or over the shoulder. Like, this is terminology that you have to learn. And if you're on set, ain't nobody going to be teaching you, because time is money. They shooting, you know what I mean? And if you don't know it, you know, somebody's waiting in the wings to get your job. So always tell people, you know, it's a discipline in acting. And it's not just getting in front of the camera and trying to make somebody laugh or doing this. Like, it's much more than that. You know?
Yes. So
it's always good just to know and learn and just be observant while you're on set doing extra work, because then you get to see this is what to do and what not to do. You know, it's totally different from when I started the business. Extras was really like, you had to get there super early. They give you a tent, and there'll be a box of donuts that you got to share with 100 other extras. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it was when I was coming up. Like, for real.
Wow.
It was like, don't look at the actor. Don't speak. Don't do nothing. You know what I mean? So it's a lot different now.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot more opportunities. You know, we're in the day and age of social media. So you can literally, you know, put yourself out there by doing monologues or scenes and things of that nature. We didn't have that. You know what I mean? When I was coming up, it was you auditioned, or if you weren't booking, you joined a theater group and you did plays, you know, just to really sharpen your skills on stage, because that's where the real acting is. If you can get on stage, because ain't no cut, ain't no messed up this line, let me do it again. No, it's live. You know what I mean? So you got to be able to project to the back of the to the auditorium and you know, do it night in and night out.
See, but and that's why, like, you and like the people that had to come up like that, I just feel like it's just a different type of skill set out there. It's like, now, like you said, everybody on social media swears they're actors because they just did a skit, and it's like no, like I'm going I do my acting classes now, and it's some stuff she'd be saying, I'm like, I would have never known that I needed to do that. It is really a discipline. And I think like initially when I started doing it, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I have to get used to you telling me that I didn't do something well. Like, that's something you just got to be like, all right, tell me what I need to do. Tell me, how do I fix it? Like,
You got to be able to take direction and be coachable, be teachable, and not have your ego, you know what I'm saying, get in the way. And, you know, I always tell people, it's just like, I don't care how many followers you have. You're a social media influencer. I don't care how many followers you have, because when you get on that set and you got a scene with me, you better come with it, because I know I'm going to be prepared, and I'm going to just, I'm going to do my thing. And don't be embarrassed, but I'm just doing my job.
Absolutely.
And that go for anybody.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn how many followers you have.
You can't hide behind that screen.
Whatever sketches you do that get a million, 10 million views, that don't mean nothing when it's time to get in front of that camera.
Mm. you ain't never lied. That's when you get exposed.
Yeah, you really will get exposed for real.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So how did you land the role of Preach on All American?
I watched the show before I actually got on it because I connected with the show. You know, like I said before, I went to Dorsey High School, but before Dorsey, I went to Palisades, which is a predominantly white school in the Palisades, right on PCH. Literally, I can walk out the school, walk down the hill, and the ocean is right there. So at lunchtime, we would go put our feet in the sand, in the water, and then come back. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I connected with the show. So my story was the opposite. I went from a predominantly white school to Dorsey High School, was black and brown. So connected with the show and, you know, just got the opportunity to be able to audition. Big shout out to Leah Daniels Butler, who cast for the show. I've read for her before. She called me in for it, and, you know, I saw this character, Preach, who was only supposed to do 1 to 2 episodes. And, you know, I was like, oh, okay, I know who this character is. I know this person. Like, I grew up with a bunch of Preaches, you know what I'm saying? And I literally based this character on 2 guys that I grew up with that I still connect with. My boy Jay and my G. Those are the guys that grew up in my neighborhood who kept me out of trouble. You know what I mean? So I took those 2, you know, people and put them in the Preach, along with a little bit of me being from LA and, you know, being around LA and knowing gangbangers. And, you know, LA is very, you know, cats because of just organized sports, football, baseball, basketball, and everybody come from different sections. Everybody from different sections in the neighborhood in LA, but everybody comes together for sport. So, you know, I knew cats from whole different sections. So it was just observing, taking that in, putting it in my back pocket, and, you know, bringing it to the forefront with this character and audition. And maybe like a week later, I find myself on set, and I'm being directed by Sally Richardson Whitfield, the Sally Richardson Whitfield. And, I'm like, dang, you know, I watched her for many, many years.
Right.
You know, I just go in there as an actor. You get the opportunity of work. You're just grateful and you come prepared. And, you know, I did a scene with Breezy and John, one of the writers, NK, the showrunner, and was just like, yo, he's bringing it. You know what I'm saying? And NK and Keche Okoro, who's a showrunner, I met her 11 years prior to me being on a show. I did a show called Bones, where that was her first script that she wrote.
Oh, wow.
A man from Sierra Leone who was an amputee. And I worked on that show. It was a guest star, but I worked on that show for a month because everybody kept getting sick. So that was probably the most money I made on a TV show ever. Because they kept pushing production back. But that's how I met NK, the showrunner. And 10 years prior, I met a brother named by the name of Jamie Turner, who is now the co-showrunner of All American. And I met him when I did The Shield. And The Shield, I auditioned for The Shield 17 times. And the 17th time, I ended up booking it and getting 3 seasons. And so that's how I met him, and they just happened to be working on the show, and, you know, they know what I can bring to the, you know, bring to the table. And, you know, the second episode rolls around of the last season and the script comes out, and this never happens in the business. A showrunner will not call you if you're a guest star or a co-star. But she was like, yo, did you get the script? And I was like, no. She was like, well, anyway, you get shot, but you don't die. You know, we plan on keeping you around for a while. And here we are, season 7. Preach done this whole 360 of character development where you've seen him from the street to after Coop to, you know, his past catching up to him, to him shooting his baby mama, him finding out he has a daughter, him fighting to get custody of his daughter, him getting a second chance by getting a job teaching at South Crenshaw, thanks to Billy Baker, played by Tay Diggs. And, you know, now here we are, season seven. You know, he's in full stride as a teacher at South Crenshaw. His daughter is now a teenager. She's in his class. She's dealing with boys. What does that look like? How does he deal with that? So, and yeah, that's where we're at with it.
Wow. That's pretty daggone impressive. But 17 times, you, oh Lord.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I was pissed off. I was pissed like, after the fourth time. Because through those 17 times, like I booked it and then they were like, oh, we're going a different direction, or they wrote the character out. Oh. And I got frustrated and my agent like gave me a nugget and it stuck to me and it stuck with me and I give it and pass it along. He was like, as long as the phone is ringing and they're asking that for you to come back means that they like you and they want you to get on the show. He said, be worried when the phone stops ringing.
Yeah.
And I was
that's
like,
almost something you said to me.
Yeah. I was like, I get it. Okay. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah. I think you literally said that. I was so upset. I was like, I only got this small part. He was like, they called you back, right? I was like,
yeah,
you're right. And exactly. I didn't tell you that when I went to shoot, that did my little one line. The actual scene is the most important part of the movie.
There you go.
I was like, Kareem was right.
Yeah, there's no small scenes, you know what I'm saying? There's no small parts because you can make such an impact with just one scene.
Yeah.
That can be, you know, one of those unforgettable moments in a film. You know what I mean? But it's up to you as an artist to come prepared, you know what I'm saying, and be ready and you know your lines and hit your mark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And make your choice and stick with it. You know what I mean? You just never know what impact you may make just on one scene.
Yeah. I love it. So tell me, what actor has had the most influence on you outside of John Singleton?
Oh, definitely. It's many. I mean, Jeffrey Wright is probably one of my favorite actors. Samuel Jackson, Denzel Washington, you know, the list goes on and on, but just to name a few, you know, these are people that, you know, they're the greats, you know, and if you want to be the greatest, you got to study the greats. So, you know, those just off bat, definitely Meryl Streep, Viola Davis, Lawrence Fishburne. We'll be here.
Okay, so tell me, what has been one of your most like memorable moments, whether on set, in a film, anything?
Man, that's a hard one. That's a good question. I got a few. Like, when I booked ER, and at that time, this is the 90s. It's the late 90s. ER is like the top show on NBC, and I book it. And I'm nervous. And, you know, this actor comes up to me, one of the guys on the show, and he was like, hey, listen, you're here, relax. He was like, yo, let's go play some basketball. And I'm like, all right. And, you know, it's George Clooney. George Clooney is like, yo, come on, let's play a game of 21. And I'm like, all right, cool. And anybody knows back then, George Clooney is a big basketball fanatic. And, you know, he was in NBC, put a whole basketball court in the back of the stage. So, you know, that's what we did. We played 21. And, you know, from that point on, I was loose. And it's so interesting because in that episode, it's me, Taraji Henson, and Corey Hartree, who was in that episode.
Wow. Wow. Hold on, who won the game of 21? I was going to revoke your black card. I'm just saying. I just had to come make sure.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Oh, my God.
Like, It was a close game. Like, I'm not going to even front. George Clooney is a set shooter. Like, mm-hmm. don't just leave him open. He will knock the shot down. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was a close game, but I definitely won for sure.
Okay, good. I'll keep you on this side with us. You can stay. <over here. laughs> So, have you ever, because I know I'm sure, since you said you did 17 times mm-hmm. your audition for this, but have you ever like completely just bombed an audition?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Really? I've done it more than once. I remember I did an audition and it was for a TV show and the guy was like on a board explaining something and it was just a disaster. I was just like, oh my God, I'm holding sides. I was just doing too much. I was just doing way too much. I was like, keep trying to write on the board and it was just all bad. You know what I mean? But you know, it was a lesson learned, you know what I mean? To where it's just like you don't have to do too much. You know what I'm saying? Just keep simple, you know what I mean? Really focus on the scene and you know what you're trying to accomplish in that scene. But yeah, it was just, you know, lessons learned and things that I took and was just like, all right, I won't do that again. You know, every actor is gonna have, you're gonna have those auditions that you just cringe and be like, you know, you learn from it and you it's like a bad play. You don't let it get you down. You forget about it and you have a short-term memory and you move on.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I just didn't expect, you know, the perfect Kareem. I mean, he couldn't.
Oh, listen, I'm still a student of the game. I'm still learning. I don't know everything. You know, I kind of try to speak on the experiences that I've went through and that I try to pass on those nuggets.
Okay. All right. Paying it forward. Mm-hmm. So how has the actor strike affected you?
Well, this is not my first rodeo. This is probably my fourth or fifth actor strike. So I kind of knew it was coming down the pipe. And for me, you know, I've always worked. I've always had regular jobs. Like that's one thing about me is that, you know, I've always kept the job. My ego was never in the way. You know what I mean? I was working 2-3 jobs up until about season 3 of All American because I wasn't on the show regularly. Wow. But I was working 3 jobs, you know what I'm saying? And that's just what it was. It's always been like that for me. You know what I mean? And yeah, it wasn't until season 3 when I was kind of, as far as my storyline started to progress and I was on the show more and, you know, my pay got bumped up. So, but yeah, I've always worked a job. You know what I'm saying? That ain't nothing new. I ain't shame in my game. You know what I mean? Cause you know, bills don't take days off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, and I just refuse to be a starving artist. I didn't subscribe to being a starving artist. I don't like, you know, Top Ramen. You know, for those who may love it, that's on you. But I can't do it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a work, and you know, I'm gonna eat good and get what I want. You know what I'm saying? So yeah,
I know that's right. So, yeah,
strike just you know it really opened up to. I mean, you saw people that you see on TV regular and, you know, they're losing their homes. You know what I'm saying? You know, it just really opened up and showed you the business of we were working under an old model contract when inflation, you know, was going on. It's just like we can't work under an old contract. You know what I mean? Yeah. So things had to change. And then, of course, you know, the network execs, you know, the heads were being greedy, you know what I mean? Really being bullies. And, you know, we band together and, you know, stuck it out. But during the strike, I was working on Top Chef.
Really?
Yeah. I've been working on MasterChef for probably like, fun fact, I've been working on MasterChef for maybe like 7 seasons.
What?
Shooting? Yeah, I was what you call a talent wrangler. So my job was to watch the contestants overnight. So it was perfect because I would go in at 6, 7 o'clock at night. I'd be off at 7 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean? So I would stay overnight at the hotel, make sure no funny business was going on. Oh. And yeah, so, you know, that was like when I wasn't shooting, mm-hmm. that's why I was working. You know what I mean? Because it was consistent. You know, was getting paid every week. They was feeding mm-hmm. me, you know, and it allowed me to still be able to audition mm-hmm. during the day. You know what I mean? And during the strike, I was working. I was back and forth from L.A. to Milwaukee working. You know, when I was back in L.A., I was on the picket line. When I had to go back to work, I was in Milwaukee working on Top mm-hmm. Chef, you know, and it just happened to be a blessing to where when the strike ended, Top Chef ended. So I was able to just, you know, boom, go back to work. You know what I mean? So I was still able to stack my bread, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, keep the bills paid, you know, in the meantime, in between time.
You're definitely one of God's favorites.
Yeah, God has definitely like truly blessed me. And, you know, I don't take it for granted. That's why I really love what I do. And mm-hmm. You know, I treat it as such. I treat it with respect, and I give it respect. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't take it for granted. You know what I'm saying? I don't. I've been in this game since 87, 88. You know what wow. I mean? And you know, we've heard the stories, you know, kids get burnt out or mm-hmm. drugs or you know, whatever. And, you know, I've managed to keep, you know, my nose and reputation and my body, you know what I'm saying, clean. And, you know, I can look myself in the mirror each and every day.
Love it. I love it. I love it. You're awesome, Kareem.
You are so, too. Poor queen.
Thank you. Speaking of awesome. Mm-hmm. What did you think about the Super Bowl halftime show? Dun, 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 dun.
It was amazing.
Yes.
It's Kendrick Lamar. It's,
yes.
It's Mr. Duckworth. It's Kung Fu Kenny. It's OK Llama. It's Big Stepper. You know what I mean? What I expected is what, like, I didn't expect anything less. You know what I mean? When you're talking about Kendrick Lamar, you're talking about a prolific writer. You know, people forget this dude is he won a Pulitzer Prize. Like, we forget about that.
Right.
Like,
it's major.
What artist, rap artist, has won a Pulitzer Prize? I'll wait. I'll wait. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's just one of those things of just like he did an amazing job. Yes. And, you know, it was so much symbolism. And you know, we got so many haters that just like, oh, it was whack. And it was just like, well, you're low vibration. You're just low vibration.
Yep.
And we're not dumbing nothing down. If you don't get it, don't get it right now. And it's okay. You know, 5-10 years from now, when you look at it, you'll understand it and get it and be like, oh, this is what he was doing. You know, so I don't argue. I don't argue with the low vibration. You know what I mean? So you'll get it when it's your time, you know, and that's fine. You know, it wasn't for everybody. You know, it was for those who know and those who get it and those who operate on a high vibration.
Absolutely.
Period. Absolutely. I loved it. I enjoyed it. Every moment of it.
I was in there screaming like, I was so happy that he went there. I was just happy that, of course, I knew he was going to stay true to who he is. But
yeah, for sure.
I'm just like, yes, he did it.
And I was around some non-black folks, and they was like, What is Serena doing? What dance is that? What's going on?
Oh my God. Yo, that's hilarious. Yeah. It's funny because when you said like they'll get it like 5, maybe 6 years from now, I had this conversation with my son because he's 15. Of course, he was like, "Mom, that sucked." I was like, "You're young. When you get older and listen to it, you'll be like, oh, I gave him an example. I was the same way with Tupac. I was a kid, so I didn't. I'm like, I like Biggie because I could bop to that. And now I'm like, oh, he was saying all that.
Yeah.
It'll click eventually.
Yeah, it'll click eventually. And you know, that's the beauty about it, is that, you know, it lives forever, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
you'll be able to sit down and really dissect it and really fully understand. I mean, we're in a day and age, social media, they already done dissected it and told you everything play by play, you know what I mean? So it's just like, if you don't understand it now, then I don't know what to tell you. But I enjoyed it. Philly won. I won it. Philly again.
Fly Eagles fly.
It was a good game. It was a good game, but definitely, you know, more importantly, it was a great halftime show. And if you black, you went to some type of HBCU or some type of, you attended some type of HBCU game, or if your school was like that, you know, the halftime was, that was the most important. The game is the game, but the halftime, the halftime is what you, you know, you go use the bathroom and come back to your seat for.
So. Exactly. Yeah, I agree. It was awesome. I loved it. So, and I knew you would love it because you're from the West Coast anyway. So.
Yeah, of course. We rock. Right.
So what advice would you give an aspiring actor?
Study the craft. You know what I mean? Like, really, if you can, get in class. You know, YouTube University. I still go on YouTube and I watch a lot of Michael Caine. On YouTube, and it's an old video, but it's like acting for film and, you know, TV, and you know, it's little nuggets that I still catch, you know, each and every time I watch it. But you know, just study the craft, get in class, like really take an acting class and really fully understand and study the craft of acting, because it's beautiful, you know what I mean? And be patient, you know what I mean? Don't get caught up in what you see on social media and, you know, what somebody's doing and be like, man, why can't I have that? And, you know, because you don't know what their journey is, and their journey is their journey and your journey is your journey. You know, it's a process, and you have to be able to enjoy the process of this this game, because it's tough. It's rejection. It's a lot of rejection first before you even get the yes. And you have to be able to build thick skin and know sometimes it ain't about you. You know what I'm saying? It ain't about you. You just may not be right for this role, but if you go in there and do your job and book the room, and not the role, but book the room and make fans, let the casting directors be your fans, to where they say, oh, you know what? Dee Dee may not be right for this role, but she did a hell of a performance. So let's just keep her in the rotation and, you know, give her something else, you know, that comes around. Because when you make fans in the room, you know, you'll continue to have those opportunities.
I like that. Book the room. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, teacher. So is there any actor or actress that you haven't worked with yet that you really want to work with?
I mean, Sam Jackson, Viola, Denzel Washington, Meryl Streep, Jeffrey Wright. You know, I definitely would love to work with those artists for sure.
It's coming.
Martin Scorsese, you know,
Okay, all right. I got about 3 more questions for you.
Yeah.
So now I'm about to try to get into your business a little bit. Is it hard to date as an actor?
It can be, because I think people see you as one way, or they may see you as the character, and that's what they're infatuated with, and not the person. That's just a role that I play. Right. You know what I mean? So it can be tough, but I think, you know, you tend to spot the real and the fake very, very fast. You know what I'm saying? You tend to spot that very fast, and then you know how to be able to maneuver. And you know, but it can be. I mean, in LA, everybody trying to be an actor.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
It can be tough because, you know, I've heard just, you know, it can be jealousy to where you dating another actor and they may be booking and you not or whatever. And it's like, it's a lot. It's a lot, you know what I mean? But I think, you know, if you have that understanding and knowing that, you know, you're each other's cheerleaders, you'll be fine.
Mm. But yeah, I had a conversation with a guy who's an aspiring actor, and he was like, he would never date an actress, especially if she did like sex scenes.
Well, that's a part of this business. And if you're not, if you know what this business is and you know what comes with it, you know, then don't date actors. Don't date an actress then. That's going to happen. That's part of the game, whether it's, if it's not a sex scene, they're kissing someone.
Right.
So you gotta be comfortable within your own skin. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be really secure within yourself and know that, hey, that's just a job that they're doing. You know what I mean? And if you're not secure within yourself, then don't do it. Don't date an actress.
Exactly.
Like, simple. How does that look? We dating, and I know you an actor, and then you be like, "Well, I gotta do this scene." What? Why are you doing that scene? Well, I met you. This is what you was doing.
Right. Yeah. I don't get it either.
I've never understood that. It's just like, you know what you're getting into. You just think because they got with you, they gonna stop.
Right. Yeah, because I dated a guy, and he was trying to convince me. I don't know if it's true or not. You know, I'm new to this thing. Mm-hmm. And he was like, so you're going to be doing sex scenes? I had booked a role, and there was going to be a sex scene in the role. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know, you're going to have sex with him. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, they're like, some of these movies, they actually be really having sex in the movie.
No, they don't. What? It's called an intimacy coordinator. There's a coordinator that's coordinating the choreographing the movement. There is a sock, they call it a cock sock, that's there. So ain't no insertions, no penetration.
I know. I was like, oh, you're trying to make me not do the scene.
Oh yeah, that's all.
Scene.
Exactly. So, come on, man.
But he was like, well, you can't fake kiss. Like, it's a scene. Like, it's not all that great. Like, it's people around. It's not as sexy as you think it is.
You can be like, bruh, come on, man. You done probably hit something that you really didn't want to hit, but you did it anyway.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was like, this ain't gonna work anyway.
Yeah, clearly, clearly, bruh. This ain't for you. I am not for you.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
Right.
So what has been the best advice somebody's ever given you, other than you gave us earlier? You gave us something, but any, just in life in general.
Oh, man. You know, make those daily deposits.
Mm.
You know, make those daily deposits in whatever you're trying to do in life. The more you make those deposits, the greater your return will be.
Absolutely. You know, so that's why you work out all the time?
Yeah, I pay myself. Mm-hmm. I call it paying myself. You know, you got to be able to pay yourself before you go out into the world and pay others. Mm. You know, always pour into your cup. Make sure your cup is full first before you go out and pour into other people's cup. Because if you ain't got nothing in your cup, then what do you have to give out to the world? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, make those daily deposits. And, you know, once you find what you're passionate about, find something that you're passionate about. Once you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah,
it won't seem like work because you're passionate about it. You can do it effortlessly with your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when you do that, when you find what that is,
mm-hmm.
it's not work. So I don't. When I go to set, I don't go to work. I go and have fun.
Right.
I literally go and have a ball.
Yeah.
Pause. I had to put that in there.
Yo, what, perfect timing. That was good.
It's all about the timing. All about
it is. What advice would you give 15-year-old Kareem?
Patience. Patience and enjoy the process.
That's good.
Yeah. Patience and enjoy the process.
Yeah. Because we always get stuck on the end goal where we don't enjoy the journey.
Yeah, we want it right now. We want it right now. Give it to me right now. Yeah, I don't want to go through all that. Just give me the end results. Give me the prize now.
Yep.
Sometimes when you get the prize, sometimes when you get the prize, you lose it. You fumble it. You haven't gone through the proper steps. You haven't gone through the failures. You haven't gone through the moments of learning and things of that nature to fully understand once you have it, what it took to get here.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have a better understanding of how to treat that thing, how to have respect for it, how to nurture it, how to respect it and not abuse it.
You better preach.
Well, because you've gone through it. You know, I think that happens to a lot of artists is that, you know, they get these opportunities, they blow up, and then they haven't gone through that. Those moments in their lives where they was like almost about to give up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, they get it and they fumble it. You know what I mean? They moving fast. You know what I mean? So you gotta be able to go through those growing pains. You gotta be able to put those 10,000 hours in. Get it. It's like, okay. I know what it took to get here, and I'm not gonna let anybody knock me off my square, or I'm not going to compromise myself to get here and to keep it. So
that's such a word, like, seriously, because we just talked about how this generation is kind of like, like they just move.
I want to go viral. I'm going to go viral, mama. I'm going to go viral. You want to go to college? No, I want to go viral.
Yep. Like, do you even know what that means? It's not really as good as what you think it is, to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why I think we're losing so much character, so much like wisdom, so much depth, because it's just so quick. It's everything. Like, can y'all just slow down?
Everybody want to be famous for nothing.
Listen.
Everybody want to be famous for nothing.
Yeah. Everybody's an influencer. What are you influencing?
Yeah, everybody's an influencer. Everyone's an influencer.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's what are you an influencer? Who are you influencing?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? Like, where's the substance?
They don't know what that is.
There's no substance. People want to be famous for ignorant stuff. And you got to keep up that ignorance. You got to keep up that ignorance day in and day out. And that's tiring.
Yeah.
That's a lot of energy.
That's why they're crashing out so quick.
Oh, for sure. Definitely crashing out. Yeah. You know,
they're not being authentically themselves.
Everybody want to wear the big chains and the diamonds and flash the money. And they want to take the picture like this with the double R or the thing in here and talking. It's like, for what?
And it's all just a facade.
It's all a facade. And you over here sleeping on a box spring with a ironing board as the TV stand.
You almost fell out of the seat for real. Like, not the iron. Yo, like, they really struggling.
Yeah.
So
I've seen it.
You had to, because that was very descriptive.
I've seen it. You're sharing a one bedroom with three other people.
That's
like
awful.
What are you doing?
Listen, I'm gonna keep my words to myself, because my engineer be over here like, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, I'm gonna be quiet. You're talking about the facade, like,
yeah, it's a facade.
Anyway,
we call it the 57 fake. It's the 57 fake.
Oh, yeah, like all the pictures look amazing on social media. You think all they got it together? Ain't even got
all of it. They got it together, you know what I mean? Skin flawless, and then when you see them in person, you like,
where's your filter? That's you.
Who this?
Oh my God, yo! Get some turmeric, ladies. Get them dark spots off your face, baby.
Get that charcoal and brush them teeth. Get that yellow up out them, out that right here. That butter. Get all that. Get all that together. Me, boy. Listen, you be the prettiest face, but that butter be built up, that plaque be built up in them teeth and gums. It's like you got to get a toothpick, you got to floss that. I done seen a bad one, and she's smiling. I just be like,
oh man, the tartar just built up.
Tartar just built up. Like, get your teeth together.
Oh my God.
Like, a lot of folks really be paying all this money to go on these trips and clothes, but your mouth don't match the lifestyle.
Got a BBL and your teeth just jacked up. Just dumb. Priorities, ladies, priorities.
You know what I'm saying? Same with the men. It's just like, bro, you got on, I don't know what the hottest, you got some Amiri jeans, you know, but your teeth look crazy. Like, what are we doing?
Stop out here throwing off people's
pee. Stop diamonds on your teeth when your teeth are not diamond worthy. They are cubic zirconians or moissanites at best.
Not the moissanite. Fellas, please stop messing up people's pH balance with that tartar between them teeth. Don't
please.
It's
about hygiene.
Oh my God, Kareem, you are crazy. I am like so excited that you came on the show today. You are awesome. You are. Wait a minute. I need to ask you one more question. I need an update.
Yeah.
How's it out in LA, Altadena? What's going on with the LA fire?
I mean, we had rain for the last week. So, you know, some mudslides, but for the most part, you know, people are still trying to, you know, put their lives together and, you know, I'm still working with, you know, some folks and doing my part. You know, but it's still, you know, people lost homes, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
with, you know, what's going on with this dude in the office and his, you know, his circus that's, you know, unfortunately that coverage has gone to that, you know, but the people are still, you know, they lost homes that they've been in for, you know, all their lives. So, you know, still sad, still bad, you know, but, you know, we're LA strong. So, you know, we come together and support and, and give back and do what we can and just do our part. That's all we can do.
Absolutely. Because I know I heard a lot of rumors, you know, it's always something going on social media about the conspiracy theories, which some of them, most of them be true anyway, but they were saying like this was all planned because the Olympics is going to be in LA in 3 years and Elon Musk wants to make these smart cities. So the only way that they can get rid of these homes was to do
this. I don't think Elon Musk is a part of that. I do know that they were talking about making smart cities, but nobody was talking. First of all, Palisades is probably one of the wealthiest spots. Mm-hmm. So I don't think them rich people was going for that. That's just what it is. Palisades and people that's watching this show, you've seen this actor, that actor lost their home. Palisades ain't no mediocre city. Mm-hmm. It was multi-million dollar homes. You know what I mean? So they can dispel that rumor. You know, but definitely for sure, most of these fires were started. You know what I mean? It just wasn't no elements like somebody started those fires. And you know, Altadena is, you know, historically black area, one of the first areas that black people were able to buy land. You know what I'm saying, in Los Angeles. So you know, most of those fires were definitely started for sure.
Wow. That's awful. Mm-hmm. I know they'll bounce back, hopefully. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Stronger and better. And just, and if there's some way that I can help donate somewhere, if there's some type of fund or something, please let me know.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We'll do.
So, what can your fans expect to see from you coming up? Anything you got?
Yeah, I mean, we got All American season 7. We premiere February 3rd and we come out every Monday on the CW. So make sure you guys tap in every Monday. If you do miss it on Monday, you can download the CW app, which is free, and the episode goes up the next day. So right now, I think we have 3 episodes up on the CW app. A lot of people are like, well, I'll wait till Netflix. No, tap in every Monday because we need those views. If not, watch it on the CW app, which is free. You can download it. It's free. And we won't be on Netflix until later on. It usually goes after the last episode airs on regular TV, maybe a week later or a couple of days later, it goes to Netflix. Okay. So we just started the season. So you got a long way to go. So you might as well just tap in every Monday or watch it on the CW app for free the next day. And then I got the Vince Staples Show. We just finished season 2. So that'll be out on Netflix coming soon. What else? I got a Taco Bell commercial that I'm doing the voiceover for. They've been playing that like crazy during the basketball games and everything else on YouTube and Pandora and the whole nine. And what else? Just shot a McDonald's commercial. So that'll probably be coming to your TV soon. And what else? Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
That boy booked and busy. Y'all better find somebody else to play with.
God is good.
God is all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. And amen again.
Thank you so much, Kareem. You are an amazing friend, amazing actor, just an amazing person, and I appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, keep paying it forward, and keep getting them blessings because you is blessed out in these streets. Okay.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me. I definitely had a blast, and you know, we definitely have to run it back when the Vince Staples Show get ready.
Absolutely. Yeah, I need to come out to LA. I think I just need to find.
Come on out now. Listen, boy, it's a pretty place to work out, that's for sure.
You ain't about to kill me.
You the call queen. You the call queen. Come on now.
I gotta come get one of those. You be having some fun looking workouts though. You be all outside and stuff.
Listen, LA is a big gym.
Right. Right.
Listen, you come out to LA, there's no excuse for you not to be in shape. You can go to a mountain. You can, whatever it is, the beach, right. Parking free, just work out. There it is.
Yeah, I'm coming. I'm coming for real. And I don't have to say pause. But anyway.
You sure know. That's hilarious. That was good. That was good.
Oh my goodness. Y'all know who I am. I am Dede Leggett, aka the Core Queen. And we were just talking about working out. So if you need your back on big, you come holler at your girl. I'm a Core Queen. I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape without spending hours a day in the gym. Y'all know what I need y'all to do, right? I need y'all to hit the notification bell. Go on to the YouTube channel, y'all. Subscribe to the damn channel. Leave a comment, like it, share it to your people. Let them know about the show. Next week, I'm going to have a panel of guests coming on to do trending topics. So we about to talk some shit. And I'm sure most of it's going to be about the orange guy. So y'all tune in next week, same time, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time on YouTube. We are out.
Are you a content creator looking for a space to create and elevate your brand? Well, look no further. The Core Queen Podcast Studios is now open. Core Queen Podcast Studios offers spaces for content creators to record or to live stream their podcast. Whether you're an aspiring creator or you're a seasoned vet, the Core Queen Podcast Studios is here for all your content creator needs. Visit CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com for more info. That's CoreQueenPodcastStudio.com today.